You can turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22 is what we're going to read. It's interesting that Butch said this morning in Sunday school, as we were going through our study on Daniel, that the only future he is interested in and is concerned about is the future that involves heaven. And I'm looking forward to the time that we meet the Lord in the air. How about you? That'd be a great if that would happen today. Annette, you wouldn't have to worry then about going out there plowing snow. She's raising her hand and saying hallelujah and ready to jump there. Okay. That'd be a great time, wouldn't it? But in the meantime, and he touched on this morning. I thought, oh my goodness, he's going to steal my sermon from this morning in Sunday school. Then what am I going to do? He said, we should be busy while we're here on this earth. We know what the future holds for us, but we should be concerned also about letting others know that they can be assured of their future in heaven too. So we should be busy. So our message today is going to be simply this: bringing people to God. Bringing people to God. Let me read now 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 18, right through to the end. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That's wonderful to realize Christ rose from the grave. He now sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. He understands what you and I go through. He understands the temptations that we experience. He experienced those temptations. He didn't yield like you and I do sometimes. He was perfect. But he understands and he can help us through his word and through the Holy Spirit as we travel through this world. Now, Brother Butch touched on this morning too. I don't think we have to say too much about this. I'm sure you are very aware of this. Society is changing for the worse as time goes by. You and I, well, some of you are pretty young yet, but many of us here could never have dreamed that it would be legal for two men or two women to get married in the United States of America. We saw on the news just this past week, I believe it was, that the United Methodist Church was getting together at one of their meetings, and they were going to make a decision on lesbians and sodomites, and whether also about, I think, same-sex marriages. And I think the last I heard, they decided to not perform same-sex marriages. Now, somebody told me that found out about it before I did, and I said this: that'd be great if they stick to it. But if they get enough undercurrent there, because I'm sorry to say, the Methodist Church is not considered a fundamental Bible-believing church anymore. They're very liberal. That'd be great if they stick to that. But I'm afraid that the way society is going, one of these days they're going to give in to it and go along with it. I've had calls come in on the phone a number of times. They left a message. I have not responded to them, but they asked me the question, do you perform same-sex marriages? So I've gotten a number of those already in the past. Society is changing, And it's not getting better. It's getting worse, and that's sad. Now, the one thing I will say about that, that's a case, nothing we can do about it. But that means your light ought to shine even brighter in this dark, dark world. And we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should be always ready to give an answer and not to back down or become bashful and shy about speaking out for the Lord. We should be just as, if I can use the word, brazen as sometimes they are in trying to knock down Christianity and Christ. Maybe a better word for us to observe is we need to be bold when we speak out for the Lord. So it's important, I think, for us to be bringing people to God. So I want us today to look at six things that God sees, says, and does concerning society and what part you and I play in those six things. So now you got the outline. You know what it's going to be. We'll give it to you here as we go through our scripture. So number one in this six things, what God sees. What God sees. Go back to Genesis chapter 5. This is Noah and his society. Many of you, if not all of you, are familiar with this story. But in Genesis chapter 6, we want to read verse 5, 11, and 12. Verse 5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that," listen to this, "and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil," how long? Continually. You know, we say, boy, this world is bad. Well, it was bad back in Noah's day, too. The scripture has something to say about Noah's day, too, in the last days that we are living in. Does it not? Then I want you to look at verse number 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Does that sound familiar to you? Verse 12, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Now go back to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Verse 9, "But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Chuck Swindoll is a radio preacher. Some of you might listen to him. He also has written many books. But he wrote this in one of his books, I believe it is. I don't know which book it is, but we'll certainly give him credit for it. This is what he wrote. "Because of sin, man has taken the deity out of religion, the supernatural out of Christianity, the authority from the Bible, God out of education, morality and virtue out of literature, beauty and truth out of art, ethics out of businesses, fidelity out of marriage. God sees the wickedness of man. He sees it. Now, since God sees it, that brings up our second point. What God says. What God says. What does God say? God says, repent or perish. That's the most important thing for people to understand. I'll say it. I've already said it 100 times, maybe 200 times. I'm going to continue to say it 1,000 more times if God gives me breath in this body. Man chooses where he will spend eternity. He chooses by rejecting the truth of the Word of God, and he decides not to go to heaven, so therefore he chooses to go to hell because he doesn't want to know the truth. And there's a whole lot of people out there that don't want to know the truth, but you know what? I'm still going to tell them the truth and let them decide what they're going to do with the truth. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became, and I have this next phrase underlined and in bold print, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let me read that verse again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. 120 years. 120 years he preached without a convert. Now maybe he's the one who led his children to the Lord. So we'll let that there. But as far as anybody else, 120 years of preaching. What does God ask us to do? Just to be faithful. You do your part. You preach the word of God. And let God do his part through conviction of the people that you preach to. Amen? So very important. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God says to society today, repent or perish. The same he had said to the society in the days of Noah. The message has never changed throughout time since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. The message is the same. There's no other way except to repent before God. You and I need to be preaching in our society, repent or perish. The same message that Noah preached in his day. The question is, and don't answer this openly, answer this in your heart. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Or are you caught up with the things of society and they don't consider us any different than themselves? I think yes, we have to live in this world, but we should not be a part of this world. We are pilgrims. We are ambassadors. We are just passing through. There's a home for us that's a whole lot better than any home that you have here on earth, no matter how beautiful it is and how much you paid for it. The one you're going to now, you didn't have to buy. It's being built for you now, and Christ is doing the building. Amen? So you can imagine what that's going to look like. That's going to be great. Well, God says, repent or perish. Now, number 3, what God sacrificed. what God sacrificed. What did he sacrifice? His only begotten son. His only begotten son paid the price you and I could never pay. That's what really brings tears to my eyes when people want to reject the simple plan of salvation and they keep thinking that there's something they can do that'll give them credit in order for them to go into heaven. First thing they have to acknowledge is they're a sinner and they're lost. That's pretty simple. And I don't think anybody, if you talk to them, you might ask a person, well, are you a sinner? And they might at first answer that they're not. I had an old guy tell me that one time. Did anybody else ever have somebody say, no, I'm not a sinner? Or they say, well, I'm not as bad as Joe Smith down the street or whatever, you know? And then you start, if it's one-on-one, you start getting a little personal, you know. Well, let me ask you this. Did you ever lie? Well, now they're scratching. Well, now let me tell you. Well, I can remember I did lie when I was a kid. You know, I stole some cookies or something. Well, you're a sinner, aren't you then? Well, you know, but that was different. Oh, okay. Well, let's move on. When you were a young man, in your 20s, maybe 25, when did you get married? Oh, I didn't get married till I was 30. Okay. When you were 20 or 25, did you ever have an evil thought come in your mind about the opposite sex? Well, now he's getting red as a beet, you know. He don't want to answer that one, you know. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And the only Savior is Jesus Christ. There it is. Not Allah. Not Allah. So, God's sacrifice. A great sacrifice. Romans 3:10. You don't have to turn to these scriptures. Many of you know them. You can if you want to, but we're going to go through them pretty fast. Romans 3:10, what does it say? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. There it is. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It doesn't say you will have it. It says you have it. You have it. Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Do you realize that? You say, well, I'm going to die someday. Yeah, I know. But as soon as you die, guess what? To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. And where is he? He is in eternity, and he has everlasting life, and so do you. There it is. So I'm looking forward to the rapture. Amen. I think Butch said this morning, too, I heard this before and I used it before, too. He's looking for the upper taker instead of the undertaker. You know, and God bless, you know, all these Sullivan's Funeral Home and Richardson, you know. I know both of them boys, but I just as soon the Lord take care of me than they do it, all right? You a Christian? Do you remember what he did for you? That's what we're going to do in a little bit. We're going to remember. That's one of the purposes of the communion for the believers, to remember what Christ has done for us. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Now, number four, what God scheduled. What God scheduled. Well, he scheduled judgment and deliverance. That's what he scheduled. Look again, first of all, back to Genesis once more. Go to Genesis again, chapter 6. Chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. And we want to look at two verses, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 of Genesis 6 says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. So there it is. That was God's schedule. Now look in the New Testament to the book of Luke, and we want to look at chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, we want to look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth on the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, God? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we want to begin reading at verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Now there's global warming, what's the vice president's name? Yeah, Al Gore. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless, and an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's what God got scheduled. But you know what the wonderful thing is? Number five, what God saved. What God saved. It tells us, you don't have to turn to it, but Genesis again, chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, what does it tell us there? Noah walked with God. We often said that that word that appears in many of our scripture in the New Testament, speaking of conversation, in many cases, in almost all cases, it's not talking about conversation about, oh, how you doing today? It's not talking about that. It's talking about how you're living. How are you living in this world? What kind of an example are you setting for the younger generation that is looking up to you? What are you doing to impress the young believers that are here in this church? What example are you setting? That's a part of your walking with God, like Noah walked with God. I can just imagine now, 120 years. I can hear it now. Some of you have heard some of these same things, I'm sure. Uh-oh, boys, put away that beer and them cigarettes and that cigar and pipe. Here comes that nut Christian again. You know what he's going to do. He's going to preach to us. Fact of the matter is, maybe we ought to start running now and just get out of his way. Oh, here comes that nut again. Going to tell us about Jesus. Imagine Noah for 120 years probably hearing that from his neighbors, from friends, from people who were passing through the area. Oh, there's that nut again. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. Building an ark? What's that? Well, that's a big boat God told me to build. Big boat? Well, there ain't no river near here. What are you talking about? Well, he's gonna send rain, and it's a rain? What's that? We never had rain. What are you talking about? Well, God said it, and I believe it. Boy, you are nuts, Noah. Hey, fellas, did you just hear what Noah told me? What God told him to do? Boy, is that funny. Ha, ha, ha. Boy, I bet it wasn't funny. When the rains came and the water came from below the earth and it started to lift that boat, I'm pretty sure that there were people close by. And as that ark started to float, people knocking on the side of that boat. Noah! I'm your neighbor, Joe, remember? Open up, let me in. I believe you now. That's why God is the one who sealed the door of the ark. You know what Noah might have done if the door wasn't sealed from the outside by God? He might have opened it up, let a couple of them neighbors in. But he couldn't do it. That's God's business. That's God's business. Noah walked with God. The question is now, are you walking with God? The ark was a type of Christ. Water is what destroyed the people. By the way, water cannot save. It's the finished work of Christ that saves. There's a difference. Water baptism comes after your salvation, and it's simply this: an outward show of an inward no. There were days, and there still are people and nations in the world today, that if you are baptized as a Christian after you're saved, they have a funeral for you and consider you dead and don't even bother with you anymore because now you're one of them Christians. You're saved by grace through faith. To the sovereignty of God. Amen. Number six, our last one. What God secured. What God secured. One more time, let's go back to Genesis and chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. And let's look at verse 16. One verse. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God has commanded him. And what's the next words? And the Lord shut him in. Shut him in. I haven't been down to the replica of the ark, but I'd like to someday, maybe not this year, maybe next year. I think, Caleb, you and the family were down there. I bet that's something to observe and to see. And I bet that draws a lot of people. And boy, that gives them an opportunity to witness too. I'm sure they do. That's great, I'm sure. So what God secured. How about this in the New Testament now, if you would. We're almost done here. Ephesians. Go to the book of Ephesians. And let's go to chapter 1. Ephesians 1. And let's look at verses 13 and 14. And it says this. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Just like God sealed the door of the ark from the outside, you are sealed. You, when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, did you take notice when you received Him, not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, you know that's what you're depending on to get to heaven. When you received Him, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about being lost ever again. Don't have to worry about that. Look at verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That word earnest, that has a lot to do with inheritance and banking, but that word means down payment or money paid in advance as part of a payment to bind a contract or a bargain. Who took care of that? God took care of that. You couldn't, but He did. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When you're a Christian, when you become a Christian, just like the old story that I probably told also 10 times here, the guy that was led to the Lord, I believe, by his boss, and they went to work a couple days later, and he's up in the roof, and he hits his thumb with the hammer, and he lets out a curse word and a scream, and all of a sudden the boss runs and goes up and says, "What's the matter?" He says, "I must have lost my salvation. I just hit my thumb, and didn't you hear? I cursed. I took the Lord's name in vain." And the boss looked at him and said, "Well, what have you cried and been upset about it before you received Him as your Savior?" Now, that's assurance there, isn't it? He was sorry he did that. And when you're saved and you decide you want to play around in sin, the Holy Spirit will let you know that's not the right thing to do because you belong to God now. And if you keep doing it, you know what you're going to get? A spanking from your heavenly Father. Because He loves you and He cares for you. And He wants the sweet fellowship with you. All right. One more passage. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we want to look at verse 27. John 10 verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never" what? "Perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." People say that Jesus never claimed to be God. Deal with that verse. Deal with that one and a whole bunch of other ones. Christ is God. God is the only one who could pay the price for us sinners. He's the only one. Close with this. Your society and my society is headed for destruction. This society is headed for despair. This society is headed for an eternity without God if they don't receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You have the truth. You have the message. And no matter how many turn aside from it, no matter how many reject it, don't you ever give up being the light and the witness that God has left you here to be until he calls you home to be with him. So my question I leave you with is this today. What are you doing in order to bring people to God? Because that's our responsibility. That's our obligation. That's our duty. And we should do it with cheerful hearts. And we should do it with an earnest desire because the time is short. I'm not setting any days, but I tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me if I did see the Undertaker instead of the Undertaker. Amen? And that would be great and wonderful. Let's pray.